We give you all the glory. Thank you. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you for your river flowing upon our soul, cleansing our soul. Thank you for your river, the river of your word, the word of your power, flowing like a river over our soul in the name of Jesus, cleansing our soul, setting our soul free from all the troubles of life. Lord, we give all the glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus as you speak to our hearts, even as your river is flowing upon us. Thank you, Lord of glory. Thank you, King of kings. Thank you for renewing a right spirit in us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord of glory, for guiding us through your word and helping us by the river of your grace to do your word in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, as you open the eyes of our understanding. Lord, we give all the glory that in this life you're always with us. You said you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You will never fail us. And Lord of glory, we have hearkened and we know and we trust in you. Lord, we give all the glory. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And everyone says, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah. Please, let's open once more to John chapter 21. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, King of glory. John chapter 21. And let's take it from verse 14 to 25. Better still, let's just zero down to verses 20 and 21. We all know the story. The Lord is risen, and we give God all the glory. And here you have Simon Peter and John with our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at what he said. Let's zero down to verse 14. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. And verse 18 says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou guidest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall guide thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And so again, we see here the Lord telling him his will for him. And yet he turned back, looking at another person who was following Jesus. And Jesus told him, Follow thou me. In other words, follow me. Don't turn around. Don't look sideways. It's not your business, my plans for another person. Follow me. Look at the plans I have set for you. Follow me. Who is the me there? Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we all know that the person of Jesus is the Word of God. Let's open to John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, so that we remind ourselves of this thing. Looking unto Jesus, Jesus is the Word of God. And so we cannot say we are following Jesus or looking unto Jesus without the Word of God. For Jesus is the Word of God. Please let's read verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Please let's go again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And so again, he says, follow me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We all know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so he says, follow me. In other words, follow the Word. Follow the Word of God. For God and his Word are one and the same. We can't say we are following God or we are following Christ without the Word of God. The same level that we lift up God to, we have to lift up his Word to his level. The same heart that seeks God must also seek God by the same Word of God. Strictly the Word of God from Genesis to Revelations, Old King James, we know and we are sure that this is the Word of God, the sure Word of prophecy. And so again, when he says, follow me, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And why is he the source, the beginning and the ending of our faith? Because he's the Word of God. We all know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God and his Word are one and same. And so we see a great key, follow me, follow me. He was speaking his Word to him, and yet he turned back. In other words, follow me, hear my Word. Let my Word be the lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path. Follow me. In this journey of life, we have to truly understand one thing. Following Jesus is it. And to follow Jesus is to hear and hear and keep hearing the Word of Jesus. Remember, the Word of God says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is the shepherd. And how does he shepherd his own? We all know the Word of God is the lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Now, why do we need the Word of God? The Word of God is the Word of light. In the darkness, in this dark world, we need the light of the Word of God. Those are things we have to truly understand. In the troubles of life, we need the Word of God. We have to truly know these things. And so So in saying, follow me, he's saying, search the scriptures to know the person of me so that you will have light, the light of life. You have light. Please let's open to John chapter 8. For when we are hearing the word of God by faith and we believe by faith, we will have the light of the world. The light of the word of God. We will have the light of the word of God and we will not be in darkness. Even in the midst of troubles, even in the midst of the afflictions of life, we will still have the light of the word of God. The light of Jesus will guide us. Please let's look at John chapter 8 verse 12. Please let's go. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Please, let's go again. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now you understand what he was saying to Peter. Follow me. Don't look back. Don't look round about. Don't look at what God has done for others. Follow Jesus. You may be going through the troubles of life. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. So that you have light. In the midst of that affliction, we need the light of God. In the midst of this world, we need the light of God. We need that light that is of the word of God. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the word of God. And so we cannot remove our eyes from the word of God, even if it's one verse a day. And we also come to church to hear the word of God. These things we have to sort out in our hearts. And so again, you see, following Jesus, looking into the word of light, looking into Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the light written down for you and I to know. He's the word of God, the word of his person, from Genesis to Revelation's Old King James. And so you and I daily, in the midst of the troubles of life, even when we don't have any trouble, we have to make sure we continue to look into the word of God, even if it's one verse a day, so that we'll have the light of Jesus. We'll be guided by the light of the word daily. In everything we do, we'll have light. Life itself is a journey. Many of us don't understand that. Life is a journey. Life is similar to that journey that the people of Israel took from Egypt to the promised land. Remember, they spent 40 years in the desert. And I tell you, it took 40 years for them to obtain physically, to receive, well, they've already received it, for them to occupy in the physical God's plans for them. You have to understand, there is a time and season for everything under the earth. There is a time to sow seed. There is a time to endure hardship. There is a time when the troubles of life will come at you. And in those times, you still have to continue to be guided by the light of life, the word of God. And I tell you, the light of life, as you are looking into the word of God, it is also you sowing seed into your life. The seed is the seed of the will of God for you. The seed is the seed that contains life, and it has light. And I tell you, it is able to bring you to your own expected end. So you will see that life itself is a journey. From the day you and I, we came physically into this life, we thank God that we became born again. In other words, delivered from the kingdom of darkness. In other words, the same way as Israel was delivered from Egypt, so have we been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. And life is a journey. Well, you may not be walking physically as they did in the desert, but as the years go by, it is the journey. Time is your own journey. Day and night, weeks, months, years, that's the journey. Journey. We journey through the years. We journey through the days, through the years, and the decades, as they did. And here we are, 40 years. 40 years it took them in that desert. And that's already two generations, isn't it? And so you will understand, let us get it into our hearts that life is a journey. We may not be walking physically, but we're going through the days and the weeks, the months, the years, and the decades. You have to truly understand the journey of life that we're in. And we also have to understand that heaven is our home. We're in the world, but not of the world. And the Lord says that God should keep us from the evil thereof. We have to truly understand some things. The journey of life we have to understand according as it is written. The world is falling. Decay is under corruption. And when we look round about us, it is speaking to us. Daily, every day, year, everything, the decay, the falling state of man speaks to man. It speaks hopelessness. It will speak, you can't make way. There's nothing anyone can do. You can't be helped. It will speak pain. It will speak hatred. It will speak its own way of flesh. The way of flesh of doing things. The fallen state of man. It will speak its own ways. You know, this is how they've been doing it. You too, do it that way. It will speak fallen ways, fallen methods. But that is not the way of God. And if you really want to know the way of God, you have to go into the Word of God as a believer. If you don't have the Word of God to look into, you will join them. It is only the Word of God that will make you to realize the ways of God. It is only the Word of God that will make you to realize that the ways round about us is falling, is not of God. Without the Word of God, we won't know the difference. We will just be going with the flood. And these are things we have to truly understand. And so let us look at the story of a man who went through the same thing. We also were going through it, but he kept following the Lord. He kept following the Lord. Please, let's open once more to Joshua chapter 14. And I tell you, his story is quite interesting. Remember, he was in Egypt too as well. He left Egypt with the rest of the nation. His name is Caleb. He left Egypt the same way. And yet, you wonder, why was he not speaking the same negative things that the rest of the nation spoke in the desert? Why was he speaking the word of God? The key is quite simple. He kept on looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of his faith. And how? The word of God. The word of God. Please, let's open to Psalm 81 first of all, and then we will understand what was happening in the desert. God was teaching them the word of God. As we all come to church, we hear the word of God. In the congregation of the saints, we hear the word of God. But we don't hearken. We still cling to our own thing. We don't incline our ears to the word of God. We are not attentive. We are not seeking God with all of our heart. And so, when the word is preached, when we hear reproofs, when we hear the word of God correcting us, we shut our ears or we use it to judge another person. So again, you see, please let's read Psalm 81. Let's take it from verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people will not hearken to my voice, and Israel will none of me. Now see a key. They did not listen to the word of God. Remember, the cloud was there. Moses will take the commandments, be explaining it day and night. They just sat there. They shut their ears. And I tell you, it is the same thing. And look, how can we have the word of God in our heart if we are not hearing? He cannot fill their mouths with the word of God because they were not hearing. And so again, we see, let's read verse 12. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel. In other words, the word of God could not guide them. The word of God could not be the light to their feet. I mean, lamp to their feet and light to their path. Even though they were all following the glory cloud. See a key? Yes, we're all here worshiping God. But you have to look at your heart. You have to set your heart on Him. You have to follow Him. When you follow Jesus, you set your heart on the Word of God. To do what is in the Word. To know what is in the Word and to do. Verse 13 says, Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. See the lamentation that all what happened to them in the desert, they fell in the desert, they did not enter into the promised land, was because of this. Oh, that my people had listened, hearkened to me, my word, and Israel had walked in my ways. In other words, obeying my word, doing my word, even in the desert. And then, see, verse 14, I shall soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord shall have submitted themselves unto him. but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. And so again, it is the same. It is the same thing. We're in the midst of a journey. And how the choices we make will determine the latter end. They spent 40 years in the desert. Now, Caleb, you have to understand, after 40 years, he obtained the promise, or the promise he occupied physically. He went through the same hardship with the majority. He went through the troubles of life. Yes, we are all going through the troubles of life. None is exempted. You have to understand. We're all in a race. We're all in a journey. And if a man could spend 40 years in the wilderness of life before he occupied, or the will of God came to be manifest in his life, then we have to understand why we need patience. Life is not microwave. And because we expect microwave, that's why we have so many in trouble. You have to understand the ways of life according to the word of God. Please let's go back to Joshua chapter 14. So we see a clear-cut demarcation. Caleb was looking to the word of God. He was hearing the word of God. The rest of the nation, they were not hearing the word of God. And I tell you, usually such things start with a little leaven and it spreads throughout the whole, you know, nation. What happened? The other leaders, you can know, they were not in agreement with Moses, right from the word go. It was like, we are the leaders of the nation. This upstart just came to occupy our place. And you know, that little leaven, if they have guided their heart, if they had not allowed that to become an issue, it would not have spread. And so through, He doesn't know how to speak. You know, he was not with us. He was in Pharaoh's palace. You remember him? You know, how can... And gradually, you can see, because they all were hearing wrong things. They were all not hearing the word of God. Even though God was in their midst, speaking through Moses. But they refused to hearken. And so, these same leaders with Caleb and Joshua, they went into the promised land first. The same thing too, before you obtain in the physical the will of God for your life, you are hearing the word of God. They too, they went there to spy the land. It is left to you whose report will you believe. Yes, we have the promises of God that we live days of heaven on earth. And yet we are going through hardship of life. It is left to you and I to believe the report of the Lord, or to believe what the fallen state round about us is saying and doing, maybe in our lives. So they went into the promised land too, to spy the land. The land is good. The blessing is always perfect. But the big rock, the obstacle that is always standing in front of us is the key. Even though Christ says you can say to that obstacle, be thou removed and be thrown into the sea. By what? By faith. Believing the word of God. So they went there and they saw him as the giant. And they started to speak negative. Because they never had eyes well for the word of God. So it was like from one bad confession and then you add another bad one to it. The land is filled with giants. We cannot receive the promise of God. They said it with their own mouth. So that is a pointer to you that the word of God was not in their heart. And it was not in their soul. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So they spoke negative. But Caleb said, we are able. He saw the same problem. He said, we are able. Our God will do it for us. We will occupy it. And it's the same thing too. You and I, in the midst of the afflictions of life, in the midst of the bitterness of life, in the midst of affliction, are you still looking at the word of God? So that you will start to say, or you will continue to say, no matter the troubles of life, I have days of heaven on earth. I'm living days of heaven on earth. It is well with me. My latter end is glorious. So, it is up to you. But how? The key. You have to keep looking to the word of God. You have to keep looking into the word of God. Don't look back. Don't turn around. You have to keep following Jesus. How do you keep following Jesus? Looking into the word of Jesus daily. You have to come to church to hear the word of God. Life is a journey, but you will determine your own outcome. Don't think somebody will just come and prophesy upon you. No. And then, when they prophesy, you will start to go all over the place trying to perform the prophecy. And it goes on years and years like that. And it's the same thing too. 40 years they spent there. And their carcasses died. Fell in the desert. Joshua went through the same wilderness and desert. Please let's read from verse 6 of Joshua chapter 14 together. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Let's pause there. See a key. He came and he said, verse 7. Please let's look at the last sentence. And I brought him word again as it was what? In my heart. Please underline that. The word of God in the heart is very important. We can't do without it.
is the stability for our lives. And the same word of God in our hearts, as we continue our hearts being filled with the word of God, it will flow into the soul. It will flow into the soul. For guess what? The word of God is the stability, the anchor for the soul. The word of his power. In the midst of the afflictions of life, just as Caleb saw the giants, how was he able to speak the word of God? Because the word of God was in his heart. And because the word of God is the anchor for his soul, this soul will be troubled at the sight of every trouble of life. Every affliction of life, the soul responds. But how will you stop it from responding in a bad way? It is the word of God that will anchor the soul to the same word of God. In other words, the spirit of the soul, after it's been cleansed and everything, as you continue to grow in the word of God, the word of his power will anchor your soul to the word of God. In other words, attach your soul to the word of God permanently. And you will see that in every situation, you'll be joyful like Caleb and you'll be speaking the word of God. That is also called the salvation of the soul. Your soul will no longer respond to the bad news, to the afflictions of life. Your soul will no longer ponder on the wrong things we think they're happening to us. Your soul will overlook them and be joyful because your soul now knows that God is in control, that no matter what you are going through, it will come to an end one day by God. And so your soul now is filled with hope. That's part of that strength. The soul being attached, the anchor for the soul, the word of God. The word of God is also the word of hope. So as the soul is anchored to the word of God, so also hope is in the soul. The word of God is also called the word of hope. The word of God is also called the word of his power. So you and I, if we don't want to be reacting or be feeling sorrowful and hopeless in the desert and the wildernesses of life, we have to make the choice to be studying the word of God daily, even if it's one verse. For the one verse is the word of his power. The many verses is also the word of his power. And you cannot have strength from God without his word. That's the key. So you see, Caleb, he was speaking the word of God because the word of God is in his heart. And the same word of God in the heart was flowing to his soul. And so he saw the same giant, just as we see the same troubles of life. Some of us will speak life according to the word of God. Majority will gripe and bicker. And yet, the majority too can start to speak like Caleb because the generation that entered the promised land were definitely speaking like Caleb. So, many of them, the next generation, they learned from their parents. They learned why they fell in the desert. What we are doing, because the generation before us had it so good. All we could hear from them is the good old days. And now we are at a crossroad. We want back the good old days. How do we have back the good old days? It's by speaking the word of God. Allowing the word of God to get into our hearts. Not by being angry at the generation that we think they had it so good and they spoilt everything. They spoilt everything because they left off from following the word of God. Simple. And we, if we don't start to look at the word of God and encourage our children to start to look at the word of God, things will be going downhill and we'll keep bickering. And it is only few that holds on to the word of God that God will help. And yet, God wants to help all of us. We are all sons of God in Christ Jesus. Israel, they were all the people of God too. God wanted all of them to enter into the promised land. The Moses generation. But they had a choice to believe his word or not. Yes, Caleb was in the midst of the desert too. We all seem to forget. He was in the wilderness. He went through the hardship too. And guess what? The next generation that entered into the promised land, they were born in the hardship. They were born in that wilderness. Or at least they left Egypt as children. So, what did they do? They started to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. They started to look unto the word of life, the word of Jesus. God and his word are one. We can't say we have anything to do with God if we are not looking into the word of God. We have to understand God has what? Highly exalted his word even above himself, so that you and I will know that Jesus is the word of God, the written word. And so we have to look and keep looking at the word of Jesus. And so again, please let's look at Joshua chapter 14 again. And verse 8 says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Please underline that. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And I tell you, that shall be your testimony and my testimony. I wholly follow the Lord my God. Say to somebody, I wholly follow the Lord my God. That is my testimony. And so again, we see, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, and please let's read verse 9 and 10. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet hath trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. See a key again? Underline that. Verse 10 says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Please underline that. The Lord hath what? Kept me alive. He went through the desert. He was 40 years in the desert, the wilderness. Serpents were there. Everything was there. He went through it with them too. The Lord kept him alive Because he wholly followed the Lord his God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in the midst of the afflictions of life, in the midst of the troubles of life, if you and I, if we keep following the Lord our God, looking unto the word of God, not turning around to see what is going on in A place or in Z place. No. Looking into the word of God daily, making sure we study the word of God and we pray. That's called following the Lord holy. Praying in the name of Jesus. Looking into the word of life. Praying according to the word of life. Allowing the Lord to fill our hearts with his word. So that no matter the afflictions of life, it is the word of God that will keep flowing by the Holy Spirit. We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written. We believe and therefore speak. And we continue to speak even in the midst of affliction. God hath not said the Holy Spirit will only help us to speak when all else is rosy. He helped Caleb in the desert to speak the word of God from the heart. And so we have to keep looking. And so again, verse 10 says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85. Please underline that. And so, you see, we have not even started yet. Our life has just started. We give God all the glory. And so, you can see, life is a journey. Life is a journey. And that's why the scripture says, even though your beginning is small, but your latter end shall what? Greatly increase. Look at how Caleb went through the hardships of life. And look at 85 years old. He occupied the will of God for him. He occupied at age 85. And that's why you have to understand microwave system is not the way of God. Microwave system is not the way of God. Abraham was 100 years old when he received Isaac. So again, microwave system is not the way of God. We have to truly understand the ways of God. What we've been doing is we've been looking at the fallen world and we've been following their ways and then griping to God. What has light got to do with darkness? When you are following the wrong way and then you are griping to God to help you, is it to follow the wrong way? The only help he can help us to do is to follow his own way of doing things. And then we gripe and we complain. No. It is for us to turn back and start to learn his ways so that he can help us according to his own ways. His own ways is the way of truth. And so again, verse 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. I tell you, if you keep following God according to his word, if you allow him to shepherd you throughout this life, if you allow his word to be lamp unto your feet and light unto your path, he will keep you alive. His plans for your life you will occupy. no matter how long. That's the key we have to understand. God will keep you alive. Even if it's to 200 years, yes. And you will be the one that they are always saying, ah, in this modern age, that person lived up to 200 years and was still strong and everything. Because God kept you alive for you to occupy His will, the promise. And we have to understand all these things. And so again, he said, these 40 and 5 years, so in the afflictions, the troubles of life, God kept him alive for 45 years. Is that not wonderful? Is that not wonderful? So I tell you, the beginning of getting out of the afflictions of life is when you start to get the word into your heart and start to speak by the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. There's nothing anyone can do except by the way of God. Verse 11 says, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. See another key? Not only did he keep him alive, he kept him strong. With God, all things are possible. So, what we need to be doing is wholly follow the Lord. Don't look back. Don't look left. In fact, remove your eyes from the past. Remove your eyes from the past. Please, let's open to Job chapter 5. And we have to truly understand the word of God. The reason why the flesh always leads us the other way is because the flesh, the fallen state, man in the fallen state, we don't like the word of correction. For the word of God will tell us we are going the wrong way. The word of God, as they sat in front of the glory cloud, and Moses was teaching them, the word was telling them, the way you are thinking, the way you are doing things is wrong. And because the word was reproving and correcting them, they shut their ears to it. And it's the same thing too. We all prefer to shut our ears to the word of God. And then we will go and be griping, bickering, arguing over how things should be done. When the way things should be done is already in the word of God. We will be looking at what the fallen state is saying and try to argue according to the fallen state. Just as the kingdom of God is not divided, the kingdom of Satan too is not divided. And so again, the word of God to guide us in the way we will think, the way we see things, to guide us and then to strengthen us. Remember, he was made strong. His strength was increased. The same thing, strength against the hardship of life. Strength to keep on with the word of God is available if we keep looking at the word of God daily. And then strength that when the pressures of life comes, we'll still keep confessing the word of God by the Holy Ghost. The strength is not of us. It is of Him. And so you see, the word of God that is the same word of hope and the anchor for the soul in the midst of the troubles of life is also the word that will correct our ways, making the ways of God quite clear to us. I tell you, when our Lord Jesus was telling Peter to follow him, and that what is his business with what he's doing to the what he had planned for John, that is the word of correction. Reprove. There is discipline in the kingdom of God. And it's not just discipline as in we will all come, sit when we are to sit, stand up. No, in our personal lives. Caleb was disciplined. You have to understand that. And how are we disciplined? The same word of God. For the word of God is how we are shepherded. Remember, the word of God is the lamp to our feet, isn't it? And light to our path. That's it. Telling us, this is the way to go, walk in it. This is the right way. And that is the discipline the Lord is talking about. To obey him, to follow his instruction. To live according as he had spoken and is written. When the Lord says, such railing from your mouth, bickering from your mouth, or nagging from your mouth, is not it. You accept correction. And you repent. And you ask him for strength not to do so again. When things get to a head and you start to complain and gripe to God, you accept correction. Please let's read Job chapter 5. For it is another key when we are following Christ. Without us allowing the word of God to trim us, trim the excess fat of, bad habits, we will not survive in the wildernesses of life. Oh yes, we have to allow the word of God to set us straight. Of course, we've all been walking crookedly. Only the word of God is straight. And so we allow him to straighten us out, to tell us where we're wrong and be willing to accept correction. That is the shepherding. Remember, he was in front of them in that desert. So it's not that he will just be there. No, you still have to hear his word and do his word. Please let's read Job chapter 5 from verse 17 to 27. Please let's go. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrected. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and bindeth up. He wounded and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles. Yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth, for thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee, and thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation and shall not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offering as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo, this we have searched it, so it is. Hear it, and know thou it for thy good. Amen, amen. Hear it, and know it for thy good. And so you can see that shepherding includes correction for our ways. Many of us think, okay, I'm an adult, I can do what I like, nobody can talk to him. That's a bad attitude before God. Honestly. And such a attitude, God will have nothing to do with such an heart. We have to understand all these things. And so again, if you look at Caleb, he said the Lord kept him. He said the Lord strengthened him. And the Lord gave him the word of promise. Please let's read verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. Sorry, Joshua chapter 14 verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest it in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. See a key? He wholly followed. And that should be your testimony and my testimony all of our days on the face of the earth. Look at, for 45 years, he followed. And prior to that too, he was following. At least if he was not following, look at, he decided to follow for 45 years. Many of us, we've just became born again 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and we are griping. Oh, God has not done anything for us. Where is the promise? Where? Look at, I'm suffering. He was in slavery, remember? He was in slavery for 40 years before he started out. Imagine. And so again, slavery is not an excuse. No. Follow God. He was born into slavery. He was born into afflictions. But remember, even in the midst of the troubles, God was with them. Because there are some who kept looking to God. The few. All what God wanted was one person in their midst in slavery. And he was looking after them, delivering them according to his word. And for 45 years, Caleb was following God. Caleb was following God. I don't know about you. I have not even followed him for 40 years. I'm telling you. But look at him. 45 years. 2 generations. All those round about him, that they all set out, they fell by the wayside. But he wholly followed the Lord. All these things we have to truly understand. We have to truly understand. And part of the things we have to understand, Caleb did not follow the multitude. You see, that's the key. Only God is right. And so you have to look to the word of God to find out what the word of God says, not what everyone is saying. Please, let's open to Exodus chapter 23. All the multitude said they were like what? Grasshoppers. And that they would die in the desert. Don't think it is fashionable to gripe and complain. It is bad fashion in the kingdom of God. I'm telling you. And so when you hear many saying something, go and check in the scripture. Is it according to the word of God? Or many going certain ways, search in the word of God and see, is that the right way? Otherwise it will be like the blind leading the blind. Not even one-eyed man now. The blind leading the blind. Please let's read Exodus chapter 23. Let's look at verse 2. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Please let's read it again. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Are you seeing that now? So to speak as they are speaking, it is evil. And so you see, they spoke, they are like grasshoppers. And that they would die in the desert. And they heard what they said. And so these are things we have to understand. Caleb did not join them in speaking evil. And you know, at a stage, they set to anoint, to appoint another leader to return back to Egypt. And I tell you, it is such things is prevalent now. Let's follow. Oh, you are not saying what is not, what is pleasing to our ears. He is saying what is pleasing to our ears. Let's follow him. And then you have a division of the church. But you have to know for yourself what God is saying in his word. And so again, what should we do in time of trouble? Please let's open to Psalm 42. Yes, we do have afflictions. Yes, the Lord is able. But you have to do something. Please let's open to Psalm 42. You search the scriptures and you take the scriptures to your God. Your God is with you. You pray to him at home and you can come to the congregation of the saints to speak to your God. Whisper. Tell him. Psalm 42. From verse 3, please let's go. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Please let's pause there. The troubles of life will always tell you, where is your God? Where is God? Verse 4 says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. So where did he go to pour forth the heart of his soul and the bitterness? Before his God. Instead of going with the multitude to speak falsehood and to sin, come with the multitude before God to pour out your pains, your troubles. Please let's read verse 4 again. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. See that? So, God is there for us. He said he will never leave us. anything you are going through, rather than griping about it all over the place, tell it to God. And that's why we need to keep looking at the word of God, keep following him. Caleb had troubles too in the desert. He had troubles too in the desert. In the wildernesses of life, he had troubles, remember? It was not only them. Exactly what they saw, what they were feeling that made them to gripe, Caleb was also feeling the same thing, but he was not griping. He kept following the Lord. And I tell you, when you keep following the Lord, he will strengthen you as he made him strong. He will strengthen your soul. He will anchor your soul to the word of promise. I'm telling you, it is the same thing. Don't say, oh, in these modern days, can it work? Follow the Lord and see, and you will find out, and you will rejoice. Simple. As Caleb was rejoicing on that day, and he was testifying to the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You have to truly understand some things too. In the Christian walk, in this journey of life, yes, we are all born again. We have accepted Christ. But the day we accepted Christ, we were baby spirits. Babies. Similar to when they left Egypt, they were greenhorns, really, to traveling all over the place. They did not know what to do. All they had to do was look to God by his word and depend on him. Caleb learned it, to look to God and to depend on God. And it's the same thing too. Baby spirits, you have to understand that. Very, very much children. So it's not by age. No, 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 no. He's not by age at all. Please, let's open to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I tell you, we will all gripe like they did if we don't start looking to the word of God, and we will continue to gripe if we don't start to look into the word of God so that we can become mature Christians. They were griping, complaining. Is all signs of immaturity. People who were not looking into the word of God. The word of God is what will make you and I mature. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Please let's look at verse 11. Please let's go. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I taught as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Please let's go again. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I taught as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. See a key there. When we keep following Christ, looking into the word of God will mature us. Maturity comes when we stop griping, when we stop whinging, when we stop, you know, just saying things at any slightest thing. Maturity comes. Please, let's open to Hebrews chapter 5. And so, you see, for 45 years, Caleb was growing into manhood, in quote, and not the way the world sees it. He was growing into a mature Christian for 45 years. Hebrews chapter 5. Please let's look at from verse 10 to 14. You read it on your own. But let's zero down to verses 13 and 14. Please let's go.
For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See a key, full age, maturity, manhood, male and female created he them, is not as we think. A mature Christian will not be complaining about the afflictions of life. A mature Christian will be saying, I know my latter end is great. I know my God will never fail me. I'm enjoying days of heaven and earth. A mature Christian has learned to follow and kept on following Christ all of their days on the face of the earth. A mature Christian will not say, come, we're all having troubles. Why is it not working? Let's debate. Come and hear all my troubles. No! Such attitude or way is the way of those that fall in the desert. All these things we have to understand. It is the sign when you are griping and whinging and everything, there's no anchor for the soul. Your soul is not anchored to the word of God. Your heart has no word of God in it. So all you have to do is what? Return back to the basic. And so again, we see a key. Please let's flip forward to Hebrews chapter 6. I've been talking about the word of God as the hope which the power of God will use to anchor the soul to God himself. And then the soul is at peace. The soul is filled with hope and we won't be griping. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's zero down to verse 18 to 19. Please let's go. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. And so again, you see, the word of God is also the word of hope. So if you are not looking into the word of God, you cannot have hope. The word of God is also the word of his power. And the word of hope is that promise, the word of God. It has in there the will of God for you. The will of God for you. And we thank God that we all know that God has plans for each one of us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Any question on what we've shared? We've learned the Christian way of doing things, the mature way of doing things. We've learned that any trouble, even if you are feeling pain, tell it to God. If you are pained about situations of life, tell it to God. He will remove the pain. If you are feeling disappointment, bitter, tell it to God. He will remove the disappointment and the bitterness. If you are feeling angry about things in the past, tell it to God. He will sort you out. All these things we have to know. I tell you, none of us can handle the troubles of life.
Those are things we have to understand. No human being can help another human being as we go through the troubles of life. But we have one who is the helper of the helpless.